This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
You are listening to Pets and Punchlines with Dr. Lisa and Richie Redding. We're pretty sure it's the only pet and comedy podcast with a practicing veterinarian and her comedian boyfriend. Listen every week to hear hilarious comedians talking about the adorable pets they love and getting real veterinary advice. So sit back and say, ruff! Here are the hosts of our show, Dr. Lisa and Richie Redding.
Pets and Punchlines.
Hello and welcome back to Pets and Punchlines, the second ever Pets and Punchlines with myself and my beautiful and talented girlfriend,
Dr. Lisa Lippman.
Yes, we're doing a house call off leash style today with two of my good comedian friends. We have Aaron Berg.
Hey, how are you?
And he's visiting from the deep woods of Canada.
Yeah, I live here now. I'm in America, and I live here. And my lovely girlfriend Sarah Silverman.
Just so nice to have another Jay. Yeah, that is soon to be wife.
Yep,
Miss Christine Meehan for now.
Christine Meehan. Yeah, we might be Berg soon.
Are you going to be a Berg?
Yeah, I'm taking the name.
Mazel, love.
Mazel. Your career is going to take off.
Not on stage. She's not using the name.
I'm not going to use it on stage. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Maybe totes go Berg.
No.
You have a writing job in a week.
Did you just hear that? Oh, I don't think he wants it.
I think she should use the name Voss on stage.
I might be Meeberg.
Yeah.
Christine Meeberg.
Yeah, I think that would catch. And speaking of which, we have your dog is with us today. We're going to get some video of this guy. Introduce your pup here.
It's Miho.
And Miho is he's in a long line of jacked men with tiny dogs.
Yeah.
Which you will see the visual component.
That should be like a thing.
Yeah, you'll see the visual component of the very jacked Aaron Berg. All natural.
Yeah.
I mean, Christine would subscribe to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're both tatted up. So
what is that tat that he's got there?
That's what I have a question.
That's
right on his wiener.
He was neutered, but we're not 100%
now,
sure.
I was told it was a tattoo.
What? Now you can be 100% sure. That's from his neuter.
See?
Yeah. So that's in the area. That's in the exact location of where they would put it when he got neutered.
Underneath the wiener.
Underneath the wiener.
Medically.
Yeah, medically.
His medical wiener. So, yeah.
Medically speaking.
Genitals.
It's a family podcast.
Yeah, when they put like just a dash of a green line like that, that means he's neutered. So if he were to ever get lost again or ever found in a shelter, they would know he was neutered.
Wait, why do you need to have a line to show that there's no testicles? Can't you just see the no testicles?
In, I guess.
Yeah, so there
you can't scare them out.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thank
you. there can be conditions called cryptorchidism where their testicles are up in their abdomen and never come down.
I get that in the cold
for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And now you have a name for it.
Yeah, what is it called?
Cryptorchid.
I'm gonna tell people that.
That's actually what he's just gonna call his junk in general.
Yeah.
Like a dead. Orchid, is that like orchid? Is that how it's spelled?
Oh, that's part of it.
Yeah,
ORYP.
But so how many times did they go to re-neuter a dog only to find no testicles? I'm like, oh, it's cryptorchid.
It's also to show that he may be owned. You know, so go searching maybe for a microchip or an owner.
Okay.
So it's also for that.
Nothing does say that you are owned so much as a testicular tattoo. Yeah. Like, you got owned.
Yeah.
Where's his chip?
Oh, the chip is in between his shoulder blades. So we typically put it, exactly right there. So typically,
I know my animals.
Hey, robot dog.
So you typically put it exactly between the shoulder blades. Sometimes, though, they can migrate. Like, sometimes they just fall down and they fall to the side, like on their arm or.
Like when I'm walking.
When
I'm clumsy,
sometimes just fall down. They just migrate. Yeah, right. When you're walking. So that was a nice.
So I've always wondered why Chihuahuas tremble. And I was looking up, and it said that it's just because they get cold. There's no way that
he's cold.
72
often.
In here.
He burrows a lot, and that's part of being a Chihuahua, right? Because
it's
they
also
yeah.
because of the political climate now, and Mexican dogs are frightened.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just yeah. worried about Trump
he's
right now.
About having being sent home.
Yeah.
He's a murderer. The Chihuahua's a murderer and a criminal. And
well, that's actually why they neutered him. He was a Mexican rapist.
They're like, take those off so he doesn't want to do it too much anymore. He hides all the time underneath his blanket, always does. And when he's being held and it is somewhere cold, he shivers. It's not too much. I mean, he's not... It's
convulsing.
Not excessive,
right.
But he does tremble a lot. Is that true? That
yeah, a lot of Chihuahuas tremble for sure. Yep, it's a very common Chihuahua thing. Yeah, they have very sparse hair code. I mean, especially him. He's got
why
a really
no hair
you're
on
hairless.
His belly.
On
wait,
your belly,
I think Berg might have waxed the dog when he did his own chest. Whoa. That is,
it's summer. You got to show the pecs.
Show your tat off.
All those
bro.
Pretty spots. He's really spotty on like a lot of Chihuahuas.
You Jersey Shored your dog.
Cute.
Tell everybody I love all
he likes dancing, by the way.
He does.
Really?
Can
we
no
yeah,
way.
Dance to Bieber with him.
He's
and
a
he
really,
really
good
happy.
Dancer.
He crosses his paws
Bieber's
over.
His fave?
Yeah, he loves Bieber.
Really?
Yeah.
I was so disappointed when I realized that song, My Mama Don't Like You, and She Likes Everyone.
Yeah,
his beat.
That's his favorite song.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I was singing along to it for like a month, and then I heard like, that was Justin Bieber. Yeah. Like, oh.
But Ed Sheeran wrote it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, well.
All right. Man, you've really dug into your Bieber, if
well,
you know.
We love Sheeran. We went and saw Sheeran.
You get the credits.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, really? Did he do Trap Queen?
Trap Queen? What's that?
The Fetty Wap song? There's a dope video when he was on Fallon that he covered Trap Queen.
I don't think so. No.
We need to get into that.
It's dope.
We saw him at Barclays Center.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sheeran, not Biebs.
Richie's played Barclays Center.
I've done Barclays twice. Yeah. The first one was awesome. Last year, it was tense at best because everybody, it was 15,000 people in there, and everybody's like, yo, is this dude showing up? Okay, cut it with a knife, you could. But so tell us about Mijo. How did you get this guy?
Mijo.
Mijo. Do I have to hit the J?
I did a whole bunch of fundraisers for a kind of a shelter in Midtown East, which is called Bidawi in New York City. And they have
what is it again?
Bidawi.
It's on 38th and 1st.
Bidawee. Mm-hmm. They have several locations. There's one like in the Hamptons, I think, and one here. So I would host these fundraisers that they did at the Stand Comedy Club, and they would bring dogs by sometimes. And I always wanted a dog. I had a dog back in Canada. But she was a horrible dog, and
because you were with a horrible woman.
Well, yeah, we bought.
Oh, way to girl that! It was that awful ex of yours.
I loved the dog, but she just wasn't. Her. We tried to train her; she wouldn't get trained. And we bought her. And after that, I was like, we should never buy a dog. We should rescue a dog. So we were looking for a dog for a while. I always wanted something big. Christine's allergic to pit bulls and anything that's...
Boxers, short hair. But I had a...
Oh, I thought allergic meant scared.
No. but I'm not... I don't have a huge issue with him. I think mostly maybe because he doesn't have that much hair. Maybe it's just breed specific with my allergy. He's allergic to me. He has more allergies than I do, which is fitting because Aaron's Jewish. And
it's anti-Semitic humor. Yeah.
No, but he doesn't bother me. He never has, which is strange. I mean, is there an allergy to specific dogs?
Yeah, so that can happen. Actually, the allergens, God bless you, buddy. The allergens can be in their saliva, and then they lick their fur. So a lot of people think it's in their fur, but then they lick their fur, and then it gets on you, and it's dander. Anyway, either way, everyone has sort of different saliva or different genetic makeup to the saliva, so you can be allergic to it, or you cannot be allergic to it. Hmm. So
really?
Can you work through an allergy to your animal, is it like it subsides a little bit, or
just take Benadryl every day?
That, I mean, yeah, I would say to ask a human doctor for that, but I've definitely heard of that happening, and there are allergy shots, sure, certain things that allergists could do if you visit them for sure, and bathing your dog often also helps remove that dander.
Yeah.
He's just a special guy. I think he was meant for you.
Yeah. Well, so you were doing those shows.
Doing these shows, and they brought the dogs by, and then one night I saw him outside, and I wanted a Chihuahua for a bit, and I was like, oh, I want this dog. So I would go, let me try and walk him. And they're like, oh, at first they didn't know who I was, and I think I looked intimidating, and I said, no, I know these people, and I knew the people that ran by to we. And so I tried to walk him, and he wouldn't really walk, like he had a problem with his paw, and I was like, oh, he's got a problem with his paw. I didn't want to get
a
dog
that
had an issue.
Not signing up for that.
And then,
just like us.
So I go, I want this dog. And I told the people that ran by to we and helped with the fundraising, I'm like, I want this dog. And they're like, okay, show up at 10 tomorrow morning and you'll get this dog and fill out this paperwork and blah, blah, blah. And then, so I woke up at 10.
Which is a big deal for a comic.
But I did it because I woke up later.
And then I called, and I'm like, hey, it's Aaron Berg. I'm on my way. And they're like, there's already a family here.
You're too late.
To get this dog. They have all the paperwork.
Oh, no.
So he went outside. Yeah, he went outside.
Well,
he got very angry.
I got very entitled. I was like, yeah, but I'm Aaron Berg.
The
and like,
Aaron
Berg. Who? Eric, who? And I'm like, Aaron Berg.
Google me, bro. Yeah.
and then I said, well, I know the people. Well, if anything changes, can you call me back? And I was
so he storms
and I'm
outside.
Like, that dog's not meant to be. You know.
He's not meant to be, but he was outside for a good 10 minutes by himself. And I didn't see his face, but there was, you know, shoulder quivering.
Big shoulder.
He started getting all Chihuahua-ish. Yeah. He was shivering, and then his hairless belly.
And then he comes back in, and he was like, they just called me back and told us to come get him. And so we...
Berg, I was going to say, are you going to verify that?
No crying.
Yeah.
Looking at the camera, Berg. Were you crying about this dog?
Up high emailed and said, give him to Aaron Berg. So then we pictured...
But they lied about it.
Then I picture them taking the dog from the family. Like, I picture the family
hey, mommy,
like,
it's
my forever friend. And like, no, he's going
like
to a couple
kids,
comics.
And,
let's
yeah.
come back.
Somebody's more important than you, kid.
So then we went and got him. And
yeah.
And he's so happy. And he's, so, been, and he's been such a great
he's
dog.
The best.
He's so easy to toilet train.
And what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
not
he did.
Train, potty,
there was a couple of times.
Wee wee pads?
Had some accidents.
No, we didn't use wee wee pads.
We put them outside.
Like,
oh, that was one of my questions for you. Interesting.
Yeah, we first couple of times, I think we left him for a couple of hours the first time that he had an accident. And he came up on the bed with me, which is something I could maybe talk to you about. Came up on the bed with me. We have a big king size bed and brand new bed. He got up there. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. He was lying right next to me. I think he was angry. Peed right on our couple $100 duvet, which was fun. That was a 3 o'clock in the morning laundry trip, which was good times, buddy. But other than like maybe two accidents, maybe one like on the ground, went away and he goes outside. Same place every day.
That's great.
But I need to figure out how to make sure that that doggy pee smell doesn't...
Dogs actually do that, like, resentfully, right? Like,
no.
they'll pee on the bed?
No.
No?
No.
They don't.
So a lot of... I mean, they don't...
That's a wives' tale?
Yeah, that is a wives' tale. One that I do like to debunk, actually. I mean, they don't do anything out of spite. I think they do things more... They have very, you know, basic emotions. Fear, you know, anxiety. I think that's, you said that it was when you first got him, right?
Yeah, so it may have been
some anxious
nervous
behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But dogs really don't do things out of spite. They don't have that like resentful emotion.
It's a very complicated emotion.
So a dump on the bed is not, they don't know somehow.
No, I don't believe that they're trying to get back at you. I think that there's something else going on.
Maybe we left him too long.
Anxiety, but why the bed?
Enough to put him out early enough.
What's that?
Why the bed? Though, if they're not trying to stick it to you,
I mean, it's definitely a complicated multitude of factors. I would probably work with a trainer or a behavior sort of get to the underlying cause of why they're doing that, and then try to correct it.
If it was happening all the time,
one and done. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it happened a while ago, and it's a one and done. It was kind of when he was new and you got him, and
still figuring things out.
Yeah, so nothing. I'm definitely overly concerned.
Oh my god, he's so adorable. So
you know, which we can talk about when you move to your new house. So now that I know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's a thing we need to talk about is that you guys, it's extra great that we're doing this today. You're taking time out of your schedule because your life is in boxes
really
and you are moving tomorrow.
Thanks for taking us away from it.
Yeah.
Because
we can come over the day before the wedding too if you want. Yeah. Day of, however you want to do this.
We'll talk about the dog.
We be podcasting.
And I'll be on the wee-wee pad just peeing.
There's no time.
I don't have time to go to the bathroom. Just go, Christine. Well, yeah, we're moving. And we're moving to a bigger place. And I know that there's going to be a lot of transitions happening.
Transitions?
Yeah.
What kind of transitions?
Like space for him. Space. Smells. Uh-huh. The back and forth with the moving. He's going to, I don't know if we should like take him last.
We're going to take him there.
And I don't know. What would you say? Take him last or take him first?
So I'd say, so as you're packing to keep his routine pretty much the same. And then I would say take him first. I would say take him first and make some positive associations at the new house.
We brought him once.
Would you also say that Aaron's right with everything that he
says? Did you say that already?
In this entire relationship?
Aaron's always right. And if you would listen to Aaron, your life would be so much better.
Do you have a match? I'll set him on fire.
I thought you were talking about Match.com. Yeah. I mean, we can set him up for that.
Yeah. Swingers.
Threender.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
I said swingers. I'm talking about parks.
I said genitalia because of the dog.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Well, no, that is it's a great challenge of this podcast is that we are to actually keep it fun and and family-friendly. Because if you guys don't know Aaron Berg.
I am family-friendly.
Yeah.
I insulted an entire family. The other night.
Yeah. Bring your grandparents.
I do they will. Humor.
He has this ISIS character. Yeah. That is the business. Everybody loves it. He's huge in Portland.
Yeah.
Oh, he's shivering.
Oh, my God. He's shivering so
much. So, we take him first?
So, I would say take him first and make positive associations there. So, like, bring toys.
Treats.
Give him treats. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. I know.
That's impressive. Yeah. So,
you do.
So, take him there first. and then bring him back here. And then I would
Why
say...
Why do I have to bring him back here?
Well, unless you're, like, moving in.
Yeah, we're moving in.
On the... Like, tomorrow. No, I mean,
you don't leave him there by himself.
Yeah. Oh, we did. Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, exactly. So
we played a little bit.
Before you move, make positive associations at that place. And then when you do move on moving day, I would say, you know, be careful. Keep him safe. Obviously, there's going to be a lot going on. You may want to confine him to one room.
Like the bathroom or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect. A small area because there's going to be a lot of people who don't understand dogs moving in it. Maybe having people move or
big
friends.
Men.
Or
some big friends.
Seven big men. Seven comics.
Do they have small
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I mean, a couple of them are questionable.
So it's just safest to keep him confined. And then...
Great thing about being a relatively scrawny guy is I don't get the nod on... hey, you got 3-4 walk-up.
Networking opportunity.
Yeah. There's some pizza. Gluten-free.
Well, I can just come and watch him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's by the hour.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut. I didn't mean to cut
my
you.
My hourly rate is $4,000.
<You're right. laughs> I'll come and watch. I'll just, you know, or you can stay.
Little
safe
vet
with me.
Visit.
But yeah, we'll do a checkup the whole time.
You saved us once. Do you remember we had an urgent issue?
Oh, that's right.
Christmas Eve.
He was itchy.
Was it Christmas Eve?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Eve. I talked to you on Christmas Eve.
The day of the
or no Christmas.
She called.
It was Christmas. It was either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
I think it was Christmas Day.
We were down at my parents.
Christmas Jewish Day.
Right. There's getting Chinese food and watching a movie.
It's fine.
If I get called on Christmas Day, I'm like, what is wrong with you? But he, like, my mom, he's not around a lot of grass. So if he goes to the park and things aren't really treated like that in the city, and he's mostly on, you know, on roads and pavements and things like that and little patches of grass and dirt. So when we took him down there, it's the country. And when he runs and it's high grass and he has no hair on his belly, no fur on his belly, he starts to break out. His paws get a little red and inflamed.
His belly rashy.
Turns red all the way. And he just doesn't seem like himself. He's really uncomfortable. You can tell he snipped a couple of dots, nipped at them, but he's just
jerky.
On
surly.
Edge. He's edgy.
Surly.
He's surly.
Yeah.
And he's a little grumpy.
He's definitely not big enough to be surly. Surly starts at like 180.
He's big enough. He's a chihuahua. He's big. He's a chihuahua.
He gets really uncomfortable. And
yeah.
So we called you and you told us that the best thing in terms of, you know, if we think he's allergic, you said to give him baby Benadryl.
Yep, we could do and wash him, get off the any of the allergens or contact allergens that could have been making him itchy. Yeah, and then he was better.
And he was better. And then you told us to, especially with small dogs, I guess this would be good for people to hear, right? Like small dogs, what was the ratio that you were saying in terms of how much to give an animal of Benadryl?
Oh, so I calculate that. I calculate that based on his specific weight. So I think we calculated that. And with baby Benadryl, I think, was it liquid? It's a little
we
more.
We freaked out because we got flavored, like, pill Benadryl. Because right. That's all they had. They didn't have the drops.
Yep.
Did you crush it up?
We did. We put it in a treat or peanut butter or something.
That's usually fine. You just want to make sure with any flavoring that there's no xylitol in it. Xylitol is very toxic.
But it starts with an X?
It starts with an X.
Yeah. In our apartment, if you leave some Trident on the floor, you're going to hear it, Buster. Because Chloe could... Yeah, because Chloe...
We don't even have Trident in
Chloe might get to chewing gum, and it's going to be hitting the road time for Richie.
So... That is a good question. So what happens is their bodies don't recognize it as fake sugar. They think it's real sugar, and they send out a massive overdose of insulin, and they become then severely hypoglycemic, and they can have tremors, seizures, coma, death. And then 72 hours later, they can also go into a type of liver failure if they get enough of a toxic dose. So,
So
it can be really, really toxic. And you can start to see the effects of hypoglycemia like up to 3 hours later.
What happens if they become hypoglycemic?
So they become weak. They can walk like they're drunk. They can get tremors and then have seizures and then go into comas.
Is that what Rich Voss's dog had the early signs of?
That's kind of like what Rich Voss's dog has. She was severely hypoglycemic, but because she was a puppy, she wasn't being fed regularly. So her blood sugar was really low. So it's the same, it's for different reasons, but...
The xylitol thing sounds, I'm not sure of like what the exact science of it is or anything, but the reason that high fructose corn syrup is so bad for humans is because it's a foreign sugar that your body can't break it down. Like it gets straight to your liver without getting broken down.
It's the same thing.
So it's just an overdose of insulin so that people gain weight because there's so many calories in that shit. And then, once you cross the line to being diabetic, you're insulin resistant because your body's creating so much insulin to try to fight off this foreign substance.
Okay.
I don't know. As per the book
Fatland.
I'd have to look into that.
Right. That's Richie's fake science, guys. Don't. Yeah. I don't know if you know, but I'm a fake scientist. I take it pretty seriously.
It's important to me.
But you said you had other questions for Dr. Al.
Yeah, we do. One thing, because we didn't finish the moving thing. One thing, because he peed on the bed and we had that issue. When you move to the new house, I would also just recommend taking him out if he goes outside, then taking him out frequently so he knows this is his new pee spot. So taking him out like even every hour or every couple of hours for the first day or two so that he knows this is his new place to pee and poo.
Well, if we pick him up and put him on a spot, right? Like, because if the thing that we have a challenge with here is when we just let him outside, he always goes right in front of the door. And then when he pees in that exact same spot, then it smells like dog pee, and I'm constantly spraying it with that stuff.
Does it smell like dog pee because it's dog pee?
It does. Yeah, okay. But you don't wash it. I do. So you don't smell it, apparently. Every other sense is like superhuman, Superman.
But I don't smell dog.
But you don't smell dog pee for some reason. Yeah. I don't know, because I think it's a little laziness, but you know, you do you, boo. Whatever you'd like. But yeah, we're all right. We're gonna.
Aaron, are you gonna clean up that dog pee? I don't smell dog pee.
So anyhow, but
I should have cheated.
Columbus, Ohio, and porn stars
partake in something. I should have.
Daddy wouldn't do that because Daddy's a good boy.
look at Miho following the conversation.
It's true. He watches everything.
What do you think? Should I have cheated?
Daddy should have cheated.
Should I have had a little affair that wouldn't have really counted?
Miho, do you think porn stars are the best choice or the or not the smartest
Miho,
one?
Miho, tell mommy that porn stars will never try and follow up with anything because that's all that they expected was a quick one-night thing.
Miho, tell daddy that the only way that it really would matter if they weren't just porn stars anymore.
You're on daddy's side. Come sit on Yes, I love you. Thank you for backing me up, buddy. Good wingman. Bro code.
That was so perfect. I got all that on video. That's amazing.
So yeah, what I'm worried about is like having him go on. Now, I can't stand the smell. So I don't want him to go right out on. It's a brick patio. But there is a place with three little trees where there's mulch and there's more of like a, you know, I could rinse it down. It'll go down into the earth. That makes me happy. Now, if I'm going to let him out, would you recommend behaviorally, instead of just letting him out the door, to actually pick him up for the first several days and put him on the mulch and be like, okay, go potty. Will that work? Or is he just going to go wherever the heck he wants to go?
Oh, I think stick with what your routine is. So it sounded like your routine was like picking him up and putting him there.
Our routine is we just open the door and let
him. Oh, so then I would let him, then I would do that. Whatever his normal routine is.
Also, a subtitle for this podcast is I'm not a behaviorist, but.
Well, but they are common questions. Yeah. So, did that answer your question?
Just let him go. I mean, if he's going to go wherever he wants to go, I'll just deal with it then.
Here's what will happen. I'll tell him where to go. Although
if you
he'll
want
go
him
potty
to go,
here, and then he will.
That's not true.
Because you're such a good
boy.
And you'll flex.
If you want him to go to a specific spot, I would, I would bring him there and then praise him and reward him when he goes there.
Okay.
So bring treats. Bring very high-value treats, whatever is like really, really yummy to him.
His favorite.
And then reward him when he goes in that spot. And, yeah, try to bring him there frequently. So
okay.
If you want him to go in that one spot.
Okay.
If
it must have been a chemical thing when he did have his allergic reaction, because the last time we went down, he may have gotten a little bit of that redness, but not so much. It could just be grass, maybe. I mean, are dogs allergic to grass?
Oh, yeah. Dogs can definitely be allergic to grass. And, you know, things you can do, you know, quickly would be just rinse them off. Even just like a cool wash.
Do you shampoo? Or?
As long as it's dog shampoo, they have a different pH on their skins than we do. So it's important to be a gentle doggy shampoo or even cool water for him, probably, if it is truly a contact dermatitis. And you could also, I mean, if it's bad enough, you can also always preempt it with a little Benadryl as well. Rinsing him off, I think, post is probably the best advice. And if it happens more often or more frequently, we'll discuss that.
Okay.
Then.
So my biggest concern with him is there are two, because his nails grow really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Chloe's are amazing.
That I should say he's in my biotin bottle every day. But they grow really long. Now, I did get my own clippers, and my mom clips her dog's nails and does all of their
good for
grooming
mom.
And stuff. So she kind of taught me, and I know that, you know, you shouldn't get down to, like, there's a difference in color in the nail, and you don't want to get too close to it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make him bleed. He is very calm with it, and I do it, like, I'll cut and then praise and then cut and praise and I'll stop, you know, after each paw.
Look at you being a good dog owner.
Good dog, great mom.
Great dog mom.
But I don't think that I'm cutting them short enough. And I also, they're pretty sharp after I cut them. Do you have any advice for when we do that, for safety tips, for, you know, if you want to do it for yourself, would you recommend people not do that on their own?
I think it depends on your comfort level. So it sounds like you're doing a really good job. And if you're, I mean, when in doubt, I think don't go too short. Do you have styptic powder or Quick Stop in case you do cut?
I have like the liquid bandage.
There's something called styptic powder or Quick Stop. So yeah, so there's something called the quick in their nail, which is an artery and a vein and a nerve, which
it's
can be really
artery?
Painful. There's little blood vessels and a nerve, and it's really painful if you cut them, and they will bleed, which is why
they're
really hard to stop bleeding.
Yeah, the time that we clipped Chloe's nails, and she, like, she, when she yelps, she's such a calm dog, but when she yelps, it's the loudest, well,
that
most
was a little different. She had an
plaintive
evolved nail, so I had to actually cut her quick. But,
dude, but you feel like the worst person
alive.
No,
I know. I accidentally, like, one barely.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just, even if he's really calm, he won't do anything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't
whine. If you
get
close to them, it can be painful, because just the pressure or...
And the nerve, you said, right?
Yeah,
it's
the, just the pressure. But they do make, for little dogs, they do make nail clippers that you can actually, will tell you when you are too close to the quick. Like, it'll, it's like a little infrared light. Wow. And it'll tell you where it is. And then for, and so I would say, I mean, as long as his nails aren't, if you're clipping them at all, I'm sure you're doing a great job. Like, I don't think that it's possible they'll get too long. He's not tripping on them. He's able to walk well. Like, none of that is an issue. And then as far as them being sharp afterwards, you can probably, for him, I mean, a nail file might even do the job.
Yeah.
But there is also a Dremel. A lot of people use what's called a Dremel on their nails, which is like a nail
electrical
file on. Yeah, like a nail file on steroids. Like, yeah, a, like the Ehrenberg of nail. Yes, like Ehrenberg of nail.
Oh, Dr.
So
Lisa, count it, baby. So, guys, we are at the 30-minute mark, and we're keeping these episodes to, like, 30, 35 minutes. So,
if they have any more questions, yes, anything.
Yeah. Okay, our dog likes to sleep with us, which we probably shouldn't let him do, and he used to be okay in his bed. Now we want to get him back to his bed. What do we have to do? Just put him in his bed and tough him out at night?
Listeners, you might see me giving a side eye to the beautiful Dr. Lisa right now, as our Miko is about 70 pounds,
yeah,
and loves to be directly in between us and shakes violently in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
But it's just the baby.
That's
the baby.
So it's something that you're going to have to work with him over time. And we can talk about that more, I think, off air. That's a hard one. I mean, if you don't mind him sleeping.
Off air, because.
Sir, I mean, if you, just because it takes a lot of time and it's a process. It's so, like a daily.
So to break the fourth wall of our relationship.
She's going to win.
There's nothing wrong with him. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with him sleeping with you if you like it. But if you want him back in his own bed, then that's something that we can work on.
Well, I'll say this. I am fine. I could sleep in the streets. And I have. The streets of Calcutta. Yeah. That's what he likes to say. Ooh,
Slumdog Delaware.
God, my life was awful, wasn't it, before you?
Sleeper cell before I got
on Ditmars. But and I'm fine. So I don't, you know, if I'm tired, I work myself until exhaustion. I fall asleep, no problems. He's a light sleeper.
Same.
And so I think it's more of an adjustment on his part.
Mm-hmm.
Buck up, buddy.
Sure.
Kind of.
No, there's no buck up for light sleeping. It's no. Yeah, so we kind of had Chloe. She got her this amazing, like, shell bed. It's like the canopy bed that she was trained to go in for a while.
She likes to go under covers.
And
so he may like one of those beds too, where, like, he can burrow.
So, like, when we first moved in together, it was like a-okay. The dog was sleeping in it through the night, and then I went on the road with Kat. So when I wasn't there to cuddle with, Chloe was. Now it's just like she goes to sleep with Lisa, and then I come home, and at like 2 a.m, I put her in her bed when I go to sleep. And then at like 4:30, it sounds like the end of the world, crying. And they're like, okay, let her up.
It's a lot of work, and you guys can do a better job than I do, for sure, if you want to commit to it and work at it. So it's really...
I'm fine with him sleeping.
Chloe is such a good whiner.
I'll give you the exercises, and we can talk about it a little bit more, and then you guys can decide
how
seriously you want it. Yeah, well, exercise, not in your home.
I'm going to have to Google this. I need a behaviorist, damn it.
Exercises on what to do to encourage him to sleep in his own bed.
I need to get a second opinion.
One other question. Your like sister insists that someone comes to the wedding that you don't really need there, how would you deal with that?
Euthanize.
Can the dog kill the that we don't want to come to the wedding?
Medically speaking.
Yes. If they're allergic highly to the dog,
yes,
can we have the dog lick them? so they don't have to come.
That would be
a lot. Like in the eye.
Can we end this podcast like 5 minutes
now? No, 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 no. We're gonna let you guys figure that out. But since we're on the topic of weddings, is Lisa invited to the wedding, Christine?
She is.
Okay, it wasn't clear.
Yeah. To put them on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I do it.
Way to do that, just like every awkward, socially inept comic on the street. Like, hey, am I invited to the wedding? If I've never said anything to you.
If your plus one can come. I had random people not even invite themselves. They'll be like, when do you get married? I'm like, September 18th. And they're like, okay, I'll come by. And I'm like, what?
No. I invited myself to your bachelor party just because I want to smoke stogies with the guys. But
he told me, he was like, I texted Berg and I was like, when's the bachelor party? I was like, did you just invite yourself to his?
Yeah, there's no couth in comedy.
I think we should do something that's, maybe cigars and steak. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yes. So.
Maybe the 17th, the night before. That's old school, right?
Dude, my parents...
Before and then get married the next day.
My dad was in a wedding that the guy had the bachelor party the night before. I got all banged up.
Yeah.
Dude passed out in his apartment. It was a back apartment that was, like, really loud inside, and he had, like, a bad ear. Fell asleep on the good ear. Slept through his own wedding.
Wedding. Oh,
and like, the whole groom's party's banging on the door. Never happened, that wedding.
Really?
No. Yeah, you get one shot at that.
That's great.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
if you don't show up to
that, that is an absolute digression. But
hi, I'm Dr. Lisa. This is the informative segment. So today on the informative segment, we're going to talk about pet insurance. I think it's a pretty common, it's not medical, so I don't usually do this, but it's a pretty common question I get, and I think it's a really important thing. Do you guys have pet insurance?
No.
No.
You don't. How old is he now?
Coming up on
a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah. So I think this would be a perfect time to get it for him, and I would highly, highly recommend it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about pet insurance, and we'll talk if you guys have any questions, and we'll take those, but I may answer them. So a few things I think are really important to know with pet insurance. The first one is that you can use any vet. So there's no specific network or things like that. It doesn't work like human insurance. And I should back up a little bit and say also that I've seen veterinary bills for a single illness cost well above $10,000. So easily. I mean, so I think it's really important to have pet insurance, and they can cover a significant amount of cost. So you can use any vet. There's no specific provider. All your veterinarian has to do is be willing to sign the form for you. The other thing is that to know is that you pay the vet up front. So you would pay whatever the veterinary bill is, and then the insurance provider reimburses you. So you get an invoice, you submit the claim to the insurance provider, and then they send you the money. So it can take a little while, and you do have to have that money up front. In some cases, you may be able to apply for something like care credit and pay through care credit, and then have the insurance reimburse you and use that money to pay the bill. But in most cases, you do need to have the money up front. The other thing is that it's important to start young. Pre-existing conditions aren't covered with most pet insurance, so I would really encourage you to get it while your animal is young. And to know the plan that you have. So some plans cover just illness, and some plans cover wellness and... wellness and illness. So it's important to know which plan you get. And then I think one of the most common things I get and one of the most important to know is that there is a wait period for pet insurance. So a lot of people think they can just kind of get it, you know, and then the next day it'll be active, so they can wait on their animal's medical care, but that's not actually the case. You do have to get it. There is a wait period to be approved.
Right, like if you need a root canal, you can't get dental insurance, right? So that just use it that day.
Right. And if you come to me and your animal has an illness, that I've already seen, then I have to document it legally, and there's no way to then get covered for that insurance, most likely. So I would say always talk to your pet insurance provider, and yeah, it's something I would highly recommend.
And how much does it cost?
Well, it really depends very specifically on your plan and whether or not you're just covering illness or, but some plans will cover like up to 90% of your bill. So,
okay. Is there Obama dog care?
not that I'm aware of. Maybe. It's a good idea, though.
cool. And that is the informative segment. That is also Pets and Punchlines. Guys, thank you so much for letting us into your home and introducing us to Mijo.
Yay.
Dr. Lisa, sign off.
Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Punchlines is for informational purposes and entertainment value only. None of the content on Pets and Punchlines is intended to constitute third-party veterinary advice or any other third-party professional advice. Content Pets and Punchlines distributes or transmits should not be considered as a substitute for any type of professional veterinary advice. Nothing on Pets and Punchlines is intended to be used as veterinary diagnosis, veterinary treatment, or any other veterinary service. It should not be relied upon to affect medical therapy of any pet. Nothing transmitted to or from Pets and Punchlines to replicate a true doctor-patient relationship with yourself and a veterinarian. Your dependence on the content of any information found on or transmitted by Pets and Punchlines is at your own risk. For veterinary care and advice, please visit offleashvet.com to schedule an at-home veterinary care visit by Dr. Lisa or another veterinarian from Off Leash Veterinary Care.